welcome friends to Inspirational Truths, a time for exploring truths from God's timeless book. My name is Todd Price. I believe that song and the message for today will be a blessing to each of you. So with that in mind, it is my privilege to introduce to you the founder of Inspirational Truths, my father, Tom Price.
Well, greetings, friends. My name is Tom Price, and I'm happy to say it's Inspirational Truth time once again, and to greet you as always in the blessed name of Christ, my Savior. And oh, I want Him to be yours. He can be yours. In fact, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And if you're in that category right now, you may have started the day that way, by the grace of God, in light of what Jesus has done at Calvary, thank God. Listen, you don't have to end the day that way. You can go from the lost column to the saved column in just a matter of time if you'll just repent of your sin and by faith receive Christ as your Savior. Well, you know what? I was so excited about saying greeting to you. I was just thinking and praying while Debbie was doing the introduction song. What a privilege I have. What a privilege I have, this old country preacher, this old barefooted country boy. Listen, I've got the greatest privilege in the world to tell you that Jesus lives, that our Savior who lived, who died, is alive, and He's alive forevermore. Friend, listen, it just doesn't get any better than that. I've opened my Bible up to the great resurrection chapter of the Bible, chapter 15 of the book of 1 Corinthians, right after Romans, right before 2 Corinthians. I'm going to begin reading in verse 12, read down through and probably include verse 19 rather quickly, and share the message with you God has laid on my heart. Now, the making of this program, it is the season, friend, of rejoicing, and every day is a day of rejoicing. The Bible said this is a day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it, but I'll tell you, and coming to know the resurrection and the power of it, the purpose of it, and God's plan for it, friend, I'll tell you this is a great season to rejoice in. And Debbie's going to tell you something in this song she's going to do right now. The title of it is, He Got Up, Thank God. He got up on the third day before the stone was rolled away. Well, you enjoy the song. As soon as Debbie gets done, I'll be back with the message out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
He got up on the third day when the stone was rolled away. Death could not keep Him down. It couldn't keep Him in the grave. Satan thought He had defeated, but that was Friday evening. Then Sunday came, man. He got up. Watch Him bleed and die. Some could not understand why Jesus was crucified. But what they had forgotten, this was God's own Son. Death could not hold Him down. The victory had been won. He got up on the third day when the stone was rolled away. Couldn't keep Him in the grave. Satan thought He had defeated, but that was Friday evening. Then Sunday came, and He got up. He has risen. He has risen. Death could not hold Him down.
That friend, thank God, He arose. He that was dead is alive, and He's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. And I'm glad for that. Friend, listen, that's what the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's what marks Christianity off above and beyond every other religion there is in the world. The fact that Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our Founder, our Foundation, died for our sins, became the sinner's substitute. He was buried according to the Word of God, but He came out from among the dead never to die again. And how wonderful, how absolutely gloriously wonderful that is. Thank you, Debbie, for that song. Certainly stirred my heart. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 12 and following, the Word of God says this. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, here the church of Corinth, listen, they were blessed in many ways, had all of the gifts, excuse me, in the New Testament church, but they were using them in a disorderly way. Paul, friend, wrote to correct it, and he not only corrected, friend, their behavior, he corrected their doctrine. Undoubtedly, there was a doubt about the resurrection, confusion about the resurrection, and listen to what Paul said. He said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? Listen to his logic. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. I'm glad it's not that way, and Paul's going to tell us. Paul was saying, look, if Christ just lived and died, we have no hope. There's nothing to rejoice in. What we're doing is foolish, and what you're believing is foolishness. He said, yea, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. Paul's saying, look, if Jesus just died, and He didn't raise like some of you all say, then we've made God a liar. I mean, to tell you, we're in big, big trouble is what Paul's saying. But listen, he said, if the dead raise not, then is not Christ raised. He said, and if Christ be not raised from the dead, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they which are also fallen asleep in Christ Jesus are perished. They have no hope. Who he said are perished if in this life only we have hope of Christ Jesus. We're of all men most miserable. And I know a few miserable Christians, even though they know that Christ is risen, but He doesn't stop there. Listen to what He said in verse 20. And I believe He was rejoicing. I believe He was shouting when He said, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that sleep. Thank God. I'm going to talk to you about the effects of Christ's resurrection. The effects of Christ's resurrection. Do you know, friend, today that His resurrection has an effect on the things of the past, the things of the present, and the things that are future? How wonderful it is. How wonderful this great doctrine of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now we're living in a time when men just don't want sound doctrine. I mean to tell you, 2 Timothy, chapter 4 says that there'll come a day when they'll not endure sound doctrine. Well, we're in it today. Do you know there are people that graduate from seminaries throughout the United States and probably the world also that do not know what resurrection means? Listen, friend, it is not a reviving of the spirit. It is a reviving of the body. In fact, the word resurrection means a standing up of the body. That's what makes it so good. Over in the Revelation chapter 5, when John had been weeping, because no man had been found worthy in heaven and earth or beneath the earth to take the book and to loose the seals and to look thereon. And when John was weeping and heard the angel say, weep not, John, for behold, I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah, had prevailed. You know what John did when he wiped his eyes? Bless God, he began to look at the throne. And he said there in the midst of the throne, listen now, I stood a lamb as it had been slain. And thank God that's a picture of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Standing there, bless God, in that body. Remember the apostles heard a message from those two heavenly visitors in Acts chapter 1 when they were testifying and witnessing to the fact that Jesus arose, ascended into the heavens 40 days after His resurrection. The angel said, how you men men of Galilee, this same Jesus, and I know I'm eliminating some of those words, but He said, this same Jesus shall return in like manner. It's the same one that showed the nail prints in His hand and the sword prints in His side to Thomas 8 days after His resurrection. I'm the same one that said on the day of His resurrection to the apostles that were there, have you got any fish to eat? Oh, touch and feel that I am flesh and bone, for a spirit hath. I'm not flesh and bone. Thank God, I'm glad for the resurrection. You know the resurrection, friend? Is that the foundation of Christianity? I mean to tell you, it's the primacy of Christ. A resurrection, bless God, that gives reality, gives life, if you will, to all else that was said. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 15, a few verses before where I read. Let me tell you, first of all, Paul said, let me tell you, first of all, he didn't say it that way. You can turn over there and read it in verses 1 through 4. He said, let me tell you, first of all, what I received, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, that He was buried, and on the third day He arose according to the Scripture. I'm telling you, the gospel, bless God, this doctrine of the resurrection is a fundamental principle, a fundamental truth, a cardinal doctrine of this thing called Christianity. Why, this doctrine is of primary value. Do you know that? You do away with the resurrection, and you do away with everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did, everything Jesus intended to do. Oh, I'll tell you, friend, listen, it is a major doctrine. It is a major theme. And I'm glad God called this old country boy. I declare to you, sir, I declare to you, ma'am, that Jesus is alive and well. And may I read His personal testimony out of the Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, which says this. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. He said, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Thank God, isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? Well, it is to me. Thank God, that's what gives us life. That's what gives us hope. And I want you to know, friend, listen. The gospel has an effect on the past, on the present, and on the future. And let me share this message with you, if I may. Boy, in the past, prophetically, and thank God, the resurrection of Jesus Christ has an effect on the past. And do you know that God prophesied through His men of old of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? And let me tell you how He did it. He did it in two ways. In two ways is all I'm going to talk about today. He did it in typology. He did it in an event, in a picture of something, if you will. Bless God, He showed us in something that happened in the Old Testament about what was going to happen in the New Testament. And the Word of God tells us clearly, hallelujah, that Jesus, thank God, that Jesus, hallelujah, was going to die for men, yes, but He was also going to come out from among the dead. Do you remember over there in the book of Numbers? Do you remember when the rebellion of Korah came to be? Do you remember that? Do you remember what happened after God brought judgment, after He did a strange thing, a new thing, where the ground opened and where Korah and all of those rebelled against the authority and the position of Moses went down quickly into the earth? Do you remember that? Well, look, you remember what God did after that? He said, listen, He said, Moses, He said, you get 12 rods, you bring them into the tabernacle, you lay them up overnight, and listen now, the rod that buds, the rod that blooms, the rod that brings forth fruit, I'll tell you, it'll be a testimony to the one that I've chosen to be high priest. The one that I've chosen to represent me before man. You can read it, I believe, in Numbers 17. And you know what happened? They laid those rods in the tent of the testimony. They went to bed the next morning. I'm about to have a fit. That old rod, bless God, that rod that was thrown down in the presence of Pharaoh in Egypt, that got on the outside of the serpents of the magicians of Egypt. After it turned into a serpent itself, and thank God it showed forth life. It budded, it bloomed, and it brought forth almonds. Thank God when Jesus came out from among the dead. The question of whether or not this is Him, or should we look for another? Is this the Messiah? Is this the Son of God? Forever was taken away. He said in the book of Romans, let me read this, and I may read it again in just a little bit. Paul, servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he afore promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. God, listen, preached the gospel to Abraham at least two times, and to others, and we'll look at it in just a very quick note if we've got time. Bless God, listen, he said concerning his son Jesus, which he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and watch this, and declared to be the Son of God according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead, or from the dead, out from among the dead. I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, I'm that empty tomb over there in a place called Israel, in a city known as Jerusalem. I'm, thank God, just outside of its north wall. It's empty today because he who was dead is alive, and he's alive forevermore. He said over in the book of Psalm chapter 2, or Psalm 2, not chapter, but Psalm 2 verse 7. He said, this day have I begotten thee. He's not talking about in the virgin birth way. He's talking about in the resurrection way. He said in Psalm 16 and 10, I believe it is, he talked about his resurrection, that his soul would not see corruption. Oh, friend, the resurrection has an effect on the past prophetic. Thank God. And it does it practically in the Gospels. Do y'all know that Jesus prophesied of his death, burial, and resurrection? He said from the beginning, or from chapter 16 of the book of Matthew on, that the Son of Man is going to Jerusalem to be delivered in the hands of wicked and sinful man, and they'll crucify him. He'll be buried, but he'll be raised on the third day. Thank God, isn't that good news? But in the book of Acts, do you know what? In both Paul's message on the day, or Peter's message, excuse me, on the day of Pentecost, as well as Paul's first recorded message in Acts chapter 13. Do you know what the core message was? That Jesus had been crucified. That same Jesus that had been crucified, God raised him from the dead. Oh, wish I had time to read it. Wish I had time to go there with you and pinpoint it. But if you begin in chapter 2, long about verse 22, you'll follow that and you'll find out that it was impossible for death to hold him. Hallelujah. You say, why was this impossible, preacher? Because of who he was, because of what he said, and because of what had been said about him. Listen, it was prophetically affected the past. Prophetically, friend, listen, it practically is the gospel. That's what the gospel is. Have the good news that Jesus, who died and was buried, lives again. Hey, thank God, listen, and I want you to know that it was a patently according to the Scriptures. That's what I just read there in the book of Romans. Thank God. But let me move on just simply for time's sake. It not only affects the past, the resurrection of Christ not only affects the past, but hallelujah, it affects the present. He said in the book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, Paul the Apostle did. He said, now look at this. I love this. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Now wait just a minute, friend. Paul didn't say, I want to know about him. Paul didn't say that I might know about the particulars of the resurrection. Now, it's important to know that. It's important to know the historical truth. It's important to know what the Word of God says about Jesus' resurrection. But Paul went beyond the knowledge of that. He went back beyond the academia of that. He wanted something, bless God, that was actual. Do you hear me? Practical. He said, I not only want to know about His resurrection, but I want to know the resurrection. Isn't that what Jesus said to Martha and Mary in John chapter 11 when He said, I am the resurrection? Paul said that I may know His resurrection now, today, in this life, to enable me, that power that overcame death, hell, and the grave, that power that brought Jesus out from among the dead, that power that God displayed that was greater than the power of creation. Paul said that I might know it practically, that I might know it personally, that I might know it powerfully. Isn't that something? Thank God, listen, we need to live in the power of a resurrected life. Sir, ma'am, if you're saved, we're not a defeated Christian. Hallelujah. We don't work for victory. We work from victory. Hallelujah. Because of Him who is dead and He's alive and He's alive forevermore. Not only is it provoking, not only in the present is it providing power to live, but it's provoking us, bless God, to a hope that is sure, to a hope that will come. Listen to the promise now in John 14:19. Because I live, ye shall live also. Isn't that shouting ground, friend? I'm telling you, listen, Jesus went down like Moses throwed that stick in that bitter water back over there in their wilderness journey when the children of Israel couldn't drink from it. And God opened His eyes to a tree, to a branch, if you will. He cut it down, threw it in the water, and the bitter water was made sweet. I'm here to tell you that Jesus, I'm the branch, thank God, I'm the branch of Almighty God, went down into the waters of death, went down in, if you will, to the depths of Jordan, and thank God, I came out victorious. Hallelujah. Listen, it provokes a hope that gives us a promise. Listen to what He said in Romans 8 and 11. He said, if or since the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, that raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Thank God. Listen, that's that message of resurrection. The fact of Christ's resurrection, it affects us past. It affects us presently, but it affects us, bless God, in the future. That is yet to come. You say, what's the most important part? Well, I've got to be quick here. Number one, first of all, I believe it's a purifying effect. 1 John 3, I said that every man hath this hope in himself, purifieth himself even as he is pure. Listen, friend, prophecy about the future isn't given to satisfy some strange desire to know things, but it's to provide a means and a provoking for us to live purely in this life, knowing that Jesus is coming soon. And then it's petrifying. In Acts chapter 17 verse 31, the Word of God tells us that God, listen, God raised Jesus from the dead, and in doing so, He assures us of a judgment to come. Oh, sinner friend, if you die without knowing Christ, if you die without knowing the power of a resurrected Savior, if you die without trusting Him who died for your sins and who now lives to make intercession for us at the right hand of the Father. Listen, knowing about His resurrection, whereas for the Christian we rejoice, but for the non-Christian, the non-believer, they ought to be petrified. They ought to be captivated and possessed with the fear. You say, why? Because there's a judgment to come after a death to die, and then there's an eternity to spend. But let me give you the last. Look, there's a preparing. You can prepare today, sir, ma'am. You can prepare for your death. You can prepare for what's beyond death. That judgment and then that that eternity. And you say, how? Well, the Bible tells us in John 5 that there's going to be a day when all that are in the grave shall hear His voice. Some will come forth to the resurrection of life, some to the resurrection of damnation. But can I tell you something, sir? He also says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. The hour is now coming when the dead shall hear his voice, the voice of the Son of God. And watch this, they that hear shall believe. You're hearing his voice through this message. I'm not Christ, I'm just his messenger. I've told you that he died for your sins, that he was buried, that he arose for your justification. And the Bible says that thou shalt believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Won't you prepare today? Listen, the gospel, the resurrection affects the past, the present, and the future. Get it right today. Go before God, humbly bow before Him. Repent of your sins. Tell Him you're a sinner. And ask Him to become your Savior today, and He'll do that. Write and let me know. We'll see you the next time.
Thank you, friend, for listening to Inspirational Truths today. It is our prayer that the message and the song has been a blessing to your soul and has in some way ministered to your heart. We hope that you will make plans to join us every week at the same time. If you have a special request that you would like us to know about, please feel free to write us and we will be sure to pray about your request, whatever it is. If you'd like to contact us, our address is Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. That's Inspirational Truths, P.O. Box 1-0004, Charleston, West Virginia, 25357. Or on the web at TOMANDDEBBIE at InspirationalTruths.com. That's Tom and Debbie at InspirationalTruths.com. Remember, friend, this is a work of faith. We need both your prayers and your listening ear. Now, until the next time, it is our prayer that God will richly bless both you and yours.